All right, we've got a bonus episode. We're doing right now. We're doing some feedback, Willie.
Yes, indeed.
All right, so you've got some feedback, right, from the good people. Where can they leave feedback? You can leave it on Twitter?
Yeah, sure. Twitter's a way to make it happen. We do have a piece of feedback from Twitter, don't we? We could start with that if you want.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, so let's give these people an example.
Since I brought it up.
Yeah.
Jonathan Street.
Yes, friend of the show.
Yeah, he tagged us in something, and I wanted to bring it up. You can stay in the Scream movie house.
Yes.
Houses for rent. This is from...
It's like an Airbnb situation.
It's an Airbnb situation. Yep. You can stay in the Scream movie house. And so it's the house from Scream.
Gosh, it's Stu's house.
It's really nice. It's $4,500 per night.
It sleeps up to 16, I think.
Yes.
So now, if you wanted to stay there, let's just say for a weekend, right? And you were able to get... I mean, realistically, how many people are you going to get to chip in on this?
Well, it says you can have 16-plus guests, 5 bedrooms, 0 beds, 4.5 baths.
Let's pretend you get, like, 10 people.
Yeah.
Okay? Yeah, then you're looking at $450 a person per night.
It's not bad.
Yeah, I mean,
it's not bad.
It's a lot of money. it would be really cool. Don't get me wrong.
Yeah.
But it's a lot of money.
You think people rent it out and then watch the movies in there?
Like, have to, right?
Yeah, I think you have to. So I was going to... okay, so what's one of the shows where, like... Is it like See It or Skip It? It's one of the the home shows. Love It or List It.
Love It or List It, sure.
Love It or List It. So sure. Love It means you would buy it.
Yes.
List It means you don't want
it. Give it up. Yep.
So I'm going to run down some houses, some famous horror houses.
Oh, I love it.
Thank you for HGTV for putting this list together.
Cool.
Their 13 favorite Halloween and horror movie houses.
Okay.
So first up, the Halloween House in South Pasadena, California.
We're talking the old school Myers house.
Michael Myers' simple two-story house was empty and abandoned when the producers of Halloween found it.
Love that house, man.
Love it?
Yeah, big fan. I will say there's actually a fan, a very intense Halloween fan, who has had that house built for himself in South Carolina or North Carolina.
I think I've seen that. Yeah.
Pretty cool.
The house from Hocus Pocus in Salem, Massachusetts.
That's a cool house.
It's a cool house.
Yeah, I can dig it.
Still used as a private residence.
Okay.
Rose Red, the Thornwood Castle.
I remember that too. It was super sweet.
Yeah, yep. It's like a big castle. Love It or List It.
I'd love it.
The house from Beetlejuice. I would love it.
Yeah.
The house from
sure.
Beetlejuice. Definitely. And plus, Beetlejuice is there. He's a fun guy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He knows how to have a good time, right?
The Woman in Black house in Cotterstock. Oh.
It's too much for me.
Yeah, it lists it. Yeah. Plus, it's probably haunted. I'm a little leery of these haunted
It looks
ones.
Legitimately haunted.
I don't sleep enough as it is.
Yeah.
The Dakota from Rosemary's Baby in New York, New York.
Beautiful building. I don't want any part of that.
It is a striking building, though.
It is gorgeous, yeah. That building and the Bradbury building in California from the one that was, I guess, most famously used in Blade Runner, those two buildings have always been like, God, the look is just like, what... marvels of architecture to me.
Right.
Yeah.
I'm going to call BS a little bit on this one, HGTV. Harry Potter, the Sorcerer's Stone.
Oh, stop it. Stop it, HGTV.
The Shining, the Timberline Lodge.
I have not been to the Timberline. I have been to the Stanley Hotel, which is was the basis for The Shining.
Okay.
The place that Stephen King wrote the book and such. I've been there. Beautiful. Eerie. I'd list it. What do I need with a hotel? You know,
I'm gonna love it. I want to meet old Jack. He's still there.
He's still roaming the halls.
The Amityville Horror House, which by the way has a 2-car garage.
did
not realize that. Hey, that shoots it up in my estimation. I'm gonna love it.
Yeah, I wouldn't mess around with it. I'll be honest.
Okay, hey man, I need a garage.
Fair enough.
The Zombieland Mansion.
Oh, is that Bill Murray's mansion?
This is Bill Murray's mansion.
I love it. If Bill's there, I love it.
He would be a zombie, though.
That's true. No, he wasn't a zombie. He was alive in Zombieland.
Oh, yeah, you're right.
Yeah.
Okay, I couldn't remember.
He pretends to be a zombie.
That's right.
And he makes a really good joke about how he saw Eddie Van Halen on the golf course. And they go, how is he? He's dead. Or he's a zombie. Yeah, it's really funny. That's a good movie.
The Poltergeist House.
I wouldn't fuck with
that. Built on an Indian burial ground.
Yep,
Native American burial ground, excuse me.
No, thank you.
Or the Rocky Horror Picture Show House.
Nah, not my cup of tea.
I think that's it.
Okay. So, I mean, I...
Yeah, it's the haunted ones you got to stay away from.
Yeah, if there's even a chance of it really being haunted, I'm out. And I got to duck out.
Right.
You know, I'm cool with a film having been shot there, but yeah, I don't mess with haunted stuff.
Right.
Cool, man. All right. Hey, so back to feedback. Right?
Yes.
Thank you, John, for that. John had another piece of feedback for us, and he contacted me on Facebook, facebook.com/horrormovieyearbook is where you can do the same. And he mentioned he would like to hear on a future bonus episode some of our listeners' first memorable encounters with the horror genre. So I thought if you had any idea of your own or an example of your own, we could share that right now. John did have an example of his. His was Halloween, the original.
Okay.
His mom found a copy. He said he believes it was the anniversary edition. I had that same VHS tape. Mine was a double tape. They were orange tapes, I remember. And the first tape had the movie, and the second had special features. His mom said she loved the movie, and she let him watch it by himself when they got home. He goes, I have no idea how old I was, maybe 8th or 9th grade. It was on VHS. That's a fun way to experience Halloween for the first time.
Yeah, I love that.
Yeah, I'll just piggyback off that and say, yeah, I mean, my two probably that I immediately think of in terms of, like, the movies that set me on a course to loving the horror genre the way I do today and kind of devoting a lot of my time to it now would be the original Halloween. Much like you, I watched it on VHS. My dad had suggested it. I watched it. I was home alone, and it scared the bejesus out of me. Same with Night of the Living Dead. Another one my dad bought on VHS. He recommended it to me. Once again, I believe I watched it. I don't think I was alone either time, but I was, like, by myself in the room. And it was enough to freak me out. So Night of the Living Dead and Halloween for me be the first. Those were the two. And those kind of propelled me into the two subgenres of horror that I wound up kind of gravitating towards the most, the zombie stuff and the slasher stuff. So not that I haven't dabbled in other things since then, but those are the two that really kind of formed my love of horror. So, yeah, those two.
Now, was this limited? I missed the question. Was it limited to horror movies, or was it the horror genre?
I think it was just the horror genre.
Okay.
Was technically what I was thinking, movies for whatever reason, but yeah.
I think about this a lot. Yeah. Like, what my first, like, exposure, because it would honestly probably be something like, so, probably like Scooby-Doo, if that counts, which I know is tough. Scooby-Doo is kind of, it's a kid's horror show in its own way. There are a couple other ones that pop in my head. The other one is my uncle used to pretend he was Freddy Krueger. And he used to scare the crap out of me. But So I must have had some exposure to Freddy. Like some version of Freddy. Either because he was on like... when I was a kid, he was in commercials and stuff.
I was going to say, that's the thing is, by the time this was happening for you, I mean, because the first Nightmare was, what, 83?
Yes.
Yeah, so...
This would have been late 80s, so probably, yeah, early 90s.
Freddy was already MTV Freddy at this point. So you had been exposed at some point to Freddy Krueger. You couldn't escape it. He was in, like, Pepsi commercials and shit.
Right.
Like, it wasn't like he was... You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Yeah, it wasn't like it was some sort of underground thing at that point. So it doesn't make sense that you would know who he was.
Yep.
Or you probably heard about it from another kid. Right? I mean, that's possible.
Possible, yeah. And the other one I can think of is Tales from the Crypt, the TV show, staying up late.
Yeah.
Whether someone else was watching it or I stayed up late after my parents went to bed and watched it on HBO. Because HBO would just re-air it at, like,
yeah,
after midnight when, yes, I was young. Tales from the Crypt is kind of a big one.
So I got to ask you, when you watched Tales from the Crypt, most of the time the show was goofy and fun. It was rarely scary. Even back then, there was a lot of adult stuff in it, but I didn't understand a lot of it anyway.
Yeah.
But did that intro scare the shit out of you? Because you the tour through the house and stuff?
I remember... I think my dad used to sometimes watch. He used to get a kick out of me reacting to, yeah, I think, to the Crypt Keeper, because like that dun 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 dun, dun, like you,
yeah,
go through the, yep, house and stuff.
It's that like doll or that Steadicam thing that like rolls through the house.
And there. I just remember being freaked out when he pops up and goes.
That's it.
Like it sticks in my memory.
Yep.
But I was never like, I thought he was awesome after that. I love the Crypt Keeper segment.
Yes,
even as
exactly. Like when he was hosting, I was like, this guy's hilarious. But yeah, I would always, the thing is, I knew he was going to pop out because I had seen it enough times, but I never knew exactly where it happened. So I was always like,
I would cover my eyes a lot of the time.
Yeah, me too. That's so funny, dude. All right.
But
awesome.
That's part of the thrill though, of horror is,
oh,
like,
totally
you
is.
Know, it's coming, but you still want that feeling, that jolt.
It totally is. Yeah. And thank you, John, once again for the feedback. And please guys, if you have any, would like to share like your first experience with the horror genre, once again, it doesn't have to be a movie. You're right. It could totally be just any aspect of the genre. Please send them in. Like, we'd love to hear about them. One way to do that, if you want to kind of like give us a lowdown on a story, like tell us a little bit of a story about it, you can email us, horrormovieyearbook@gmail.com. That's the place to do it. Speaking of which, we do have one email today. This is from Mark. First time we've heard from Mark. Thank you so much for writing.
Thank you, Mark.
Really appreciate it. Mark says, found the show, and I have been loving it since. However, I only found the show quite recently, so I've been trying to catch up. No worries. Take your time, man. I'm just happy you're listening. Regarding episode 100, I find it odd that King wouldn't want to be quarantined with Annie Wilkes. Quite frankly, any King antagonist would be worrisome. Very true. But wasn't Annie's whole point hinged on being stuck together? Wouldn't Jack Torrance be the ultimate wouldn't want to be quarantined with pick? It's only when Paul Sheldon tries to get away do problems occur. But with Jack, well, isolation isn't exactly his friend. Yeah, no, I mean, you're not wrong. I mean, like the thing is, if you're going to get stuck with somebody, like, Annie will at least keep you, as long as you don't piss her off, she'll keep you fed and happy.
Keep you fed and happy. She was a writer, too, right?
Aspiring, I think.
Aspiring writer, so yeah. She's got some stories. She'll
sure.
Keep entertained.
Yeah. And, you know, I mean, if you stumble across...
You're probably going to have to awkwardly say, that's a good one. That's a great story.
That's great. Annie. Yeah, thanks. Also, not sure if it's been mentioned, but in a few episodes, you've brought up callbacks to other films like the Hills Have Eyes poster in The Evil Dead and the Jaws poster in Hills Have Eyes, etc. Has anyone brought up the ash bag in Phantasm 2? At around 1 hour and 11 minutes, there are ashes being poured into a bag at the funeral home, and the bag is listed as containing the mortal remains of Sam Raimi. Not sure if that one has been cited or not, so I apologize if it has.
I had no idea of this.
It's pretty great.
Yeah.
So thank you for that. That honestly is really
Phantasm
cool.
Phantasm 2 is the universal one, too, right?
Yes. Yeah, yes.
Yeah. Okay.
Yep. Anyway, love the show and just wanted to say hi. Well, thank you, Mark. Hi back to you, sir. And really appreciate you writing in. That is super awesome, the Phantasm thing. I didn't actually know that. And, I like Phantasm 2. I'm not going to shit on Phantasm 2. A lot of folks do.
Yeah, because it doesn't have what's his name in it.
Right.
I think
Michael Baldwin.
I like all of the Phantasm sequels to varying degrees.
Yes. Yes. There are two of them later on that I would say your mileage, you really got to like that series.
Three's the one with Rocky.
Love it.
Three is my favorite. Three's my favorite.
Three is the Dream Warriors of the Phantasm series because you get a weird like team up, like a group of people
yes.
that are fighting. Because like, that little kid joins them that shoots slingshots and shit. Yeah, three's kind of rad.
Three's a big comic book, yeah. But two is, I'm with you. I think two's a lot.
Two's not bad. Yeah. Yeah. Awesome. So that's it for feedback. Thank you guys for sending those in. Please, guys, anything you got, let us know. We know you've been sitting around at some point during quarantine and coming up with fun ideas for things. So share them with us. We'd love to hear them.
I have been able to start watching horror movies again, just so you know.
Yes.
Like outside of, I think I mentioned this, like I was having trouble watching horror movies during quarantine, but now
sure.
I think my mental health's a little better lately.
I'm feeling better too.
Me too.
Yeah, yeah. Still drinking more frequently than I'd like. I do, but
to be honest, it has nothing to do with the outside world. It's just like I think I've just decided to just give up.
Yeah,
just be like, hey, I got no control yeah. over this.
No, nope. It's not even worth it. I had a conversation with somebody today about that. I'm like, what am I gonna do? I'm not gonna solve this.
No, what do you want me to do? I can go out. I can keep away. I can wear my mask.
Yeah.
I'm
just gonna spend money on stuff that makes me happy. That's been my coping mechanism.
Right.
Speaking of which,
yes.
Obviously, Comic-Con in its traditional form was canceled this year, but a lot of these companies that would normally have a presence at Comic-Con have been doing Comic-Con at home, and doing, some of their convention exclusives they've been making available online. For purchase for fans. They've been doing a lot of video panels and things like that. So they're doing something. This week, all week, NECA Toys, if you're not familiar with NECA Toys, you've probably seen one on a shelf at some point. They generally make like 7-inch scale action figures, but they do like a lot of the Friday the 13th figures. They do a lot of horror-based stuff in general. They've done Child's Play, Alien, Predator, Friday the 13th, Nightmare on Elm Street, Halloween, Texas Chainsaw Massacre. They've done it all, okay? And they have been announcing all week, each day they've been announcing different upcoming figures they're doing. Each day's had a theme, so like Monday was a Ninja Turtles theme, Tuesday was so on and so forth, whatever it was. I just wanted to go through because there's some cool stuff that they've announced, and I think for folks who maybe aren't familiar with their work, you might be kind of into it. First of all, I want to mention, they are making a Jaws figure. And when I say Jaws figure, I mean Bruce. They're making a figure of Bruce.
Where, okay, so
it
I'm
is,
trying to find
it
that.
Is big.
Oh!
because it can eat the 7-inch figures, which is pretty sweet. So that's neat. I just wanted to share that first and foremost. There is a Roy Scheider figure they've made, so that's good. But yeah, they've announced some cool stuff. So I'd like to start with, they're celebrating 30 years of Predator 2.
Oh, as we all are.
As we all are.
You right. celebrated it yesterday, didn't you?
That's why I texted you, because I was looking at this, and I'm like, Predator 2 is fucking sweet.
Yeah.
This is a... I'm going to show you... Now, if you want to check these out, go on to NECA's... If you search N-E-C-A on Twitter, you can pull up their Twitter, and just look at their media, like their pictures they've uploaded, and you'll find all these figures that I'm talking about. They're also on Facebook and such. So, first things first... They had a convention exclusive for San Diego Comic-Con, which obviously isn't happening, that is the City Hunter Predator, which is the Predator from Predator 2. And it's the bit when he's gets hit by rain, and he's, like, electrified, yeah. And it's so sweet. looks really cool. So that's a neat announcement. They've also announced a glow-in-the-dark alien.
I was just looking at that. That's
kind of cool. A xenomorph. They've announced a Christmas-themed Misfits action figure. Yeah, it's a Christmas Misfit, which is pretty sweet. We have a brand new Annabelle figure with a real cloth dress.
Oh, that's really well done.
Yeah, she's got. I think
is she Annabelle size?
This one is no. It's a 7-inch.
It's a 7-inch. Okay.
But she.
Oh,
comes,
so you can. So Jaws can eat Annabelle.
Yes, you can do Jaws versus Annabelle if you wanted to. But she comes in her box is made like her display case that's in the Warren's basement.
Yeah. Yep.
And then they've announced also a battle damage City Hunter from Predator 2. So after he gets his hand cut off and stuff like that, he's all beat up. I will say they have been releasing all the figures of the Lost Tribe, as they're called, from Predator 2, which is all those badass predators that show up at the end and give Danny Glover a gun. They're making all those guys, which is awesome. And apparently, they're making the trophy wall, like, from the ship, so you can, like, set them all up in front of the trophy wall.
Man.
It's super sweet. Moving on, they did announce some Back to the Future stuff, if that's your bag. I'm not going to get into those right now. They've got a line of toys called Toonie Terrors. Okay. Now, these are smaller in scale. I believe they're 4 or 5 inches. They're not... articulated, you can't do a lot with them, but they're much cheaper. They're like $12-13, and they're stylized almost like old Scooby-Doo cartoons, kind of like that kind of older Hanna-Barbera style.
Right.
But they're horror icons, and they've done a bunch of these. So many good ones.
I'm looking at the Pinhead one right now.
The Pinhead one's really good. They've done Michael Myers, Freddy Krueger, Leatherface.
The Leatherface one I like a lot.
It's really good. They've done a couple of fun. They did Victor Crowley from Hatchet, which is kind of fun.
I gotta look that one up.
Reagan from Exorcist, which is kind of cool. But anyway, they announced a couple more, and these ones are actually really neat. So one is the Creep from Creepshow, who looks really cool.
Whoa!
I love the style of it. He's super neat looking. And they announced
he's got the lantern and everything.
Yeah, isn't it cool? And they announced Ghostface as well. And I can't see the picture of Ghostface for some reason. It's missing here. But they do. They announced the Toonie Terrors Ghostface, and they announced a 7-inch cloth-robed Ghostface figure, which is pretty cool. They also announced life-size Chucky and Tiffany dolls.
I was just looking at it. Yeah.
And they gave Tiffany... Tiffany has nipples, for those that are wondering.
Oh, good. Here's Ghostface.
Isn't it sweet?
Yeah, it is really
good. The style's really cool. They've done some fun stuff with this. Like, they did The Nun, which is kind of fun. And they did Nosferatu, which is cool. They also announced this super cool gremlin. He's just kind of a cash gremlin. which is neat. He's based on, I believe, an old...
Yeah, my favorite gremlin.
He's based on an old movie poster for gremlins.
My favorite gremlin is the smart gremlin from, I think, Gremlins 2.
Ah, he's so sweet, isn't he? Yeah, he's so rad. And finally, now NECA has done all of the Jasons in what they call their ultimate.
Because is this the one they just came out with today? Oh, my God.
They call them their ultimate line. So their ultimate line, I just showed you, Tim, a couple of the Turtles figures I have.
Yeah.
That are, like, their ultimate. So these are ones that, like, the sculpts are super nice. They have a ton of interchangeable hands and faces and stuff, so you can pose them in different ways and whatnot. They have so far done, in this line, all the Jasons from 2, 3, 4. They did Roy from 5. And they did 6. They've also done remake Jason.
Okay.
From the 2009 movie. But there was concern that they kind of stopped, and the worry was that the lawsuit thing was keeping them from happening. But apparently, they figured something out, because Part 7 is getting a figure, and it's so sweet.
I'm looking at it right now. It's incredible, the detail on this thing.
It's insane.
He's like, this is Part 7, so this is waterlogged Jason, like bottom of Crystal Lake, chained Jason. And the shirt's all ripped up. You can see like all the sinew and the muscle and the rib cage. Like it's, and you can take his mask off. Oh my gosh.
So that's interchangeable head, so you can pop his other head off and put his unmasked if you want.
He comes with the saw blade too, the weapon.
Yeah. Oh yeah, that's my favorite part in that movie. It gets cut, unfortunately, but that ridiculous looking weed whipper thing that no one actually has. It's literally like a circular saw on the end of a weed whipper.
Yes.
It's so sweet, though. So, yeah, this is a cool figure. I don't know if you've seen some of their other stuff, but at some point I'm buying you their Part 2 figure because it's so sweet. It's so sweet. I think it comes with a light-up campfire that he can stand in.
How much are these?
Those are like $30.
Okay.
So they're really affordable.
I
actually have that, the NES Jason that I have up here is one of theirs. I should say they have one extra Jason that they've created. No, I shouldn't say they've created. There's two Part 5 Jasons that they put in toy form. And I was very confused by this because the first one was Roy. They have a Roy figure, which is awesome. But the second one is actually Dream Sequence Jason from Part 5. I don't know if you remember, but Tommy keeps seeing Jason as hallucinations, and he's got worms coming out of his mask. They made that. And one of the interchangeable heads in this figure is that weird white mask from the Friday Part 5 poster that's never in the movies. But you can put that on the action figure, which is kind of sweet. Anyway, so I love their attention to detail. They got some cool stuff coming out. It was worth talking about. There is another really exciting Friday the 13th piece of merchandise coming out that we were not able to talk about last episode because, well, it wasn't announced. We've heard rumblings about this for a while.
You talked about there being movement enough to where the toy line is just like, all right, we'll do it. Like, there's some movement here with Friday the
13th. Yeah, there is. So my understanding is if it is re-releasing something that already existed, they're okay to do it.
Gotcha.
I don't know.
Exactly. Anyway.
But anyway,
Scream
the
Factor.
Big news is, so we've been hearing these rumors. We're pretty sure there's going to be a new Friday the 13th Blu-ray box set, right? We were both kind of intrigued by it, but the best possible thing could have happened, right? Scream Factory is doing it.
Yeah.
And I think you and I both love Scream Factory.
They just did the Halloween box set, which is fantastic.
Yes. And this looks,
and they do,
I mean, better even?
I think it does.
Certainly bigger. I mean, but it's a bigger franchise.
Bigger, and they've got more to pull from too, I think, as far as the past special editions of these.
Yeah.
I think they have. So there is some repackaged stuff.
Course.
But honestly,
but they've also been very upfront and very transparent about what's new to the set and what's not.
Yeah, if you go on their website, which by the way, it's sold out, you'll have to get it. Secondary market.
I don't know
point.
If Amazon sold out yet. I'd have to look because there was a. So they did put it on Amazon, for sale on Amazon. It was actually cheaper on Amazon, but you didn't get the posters.
You could only get the
posters through.
I think you could. I think you might be able to still like order it and just be placed on a waiting list too.
Okay.
For when they have the supply.
It is still available on Amazon currently.
Okay.
You can pre-order it. So if you have missed out on this. It is technically cheaper on Amazon. It's $133 as opposed to $160 or $70. You don't get the posters, which is what you get with the. But so be it. You know, if you want the box set,
the packaging for it itself
is beautiful.
Is incredible. Yeah. It has reversible DVD.
Yeah. So
covers.
They've mentioned that some of the films. I don't know which ones. I don't know if it's going to be. It seems like the emphasis on this set is on the first four movies. And for whatever reason, Jason Goes to Hell. And I think that's because Jason Goes to Hell has not received a very solid treatment in any format, really. So I think they're finally going to do that one justice. And I don't think there's a ton of bonus features that have been available previously for Jason Goes to Hell.
Yeah.
So I think that's why that one's being kind of presented. But 1 through 4 seem like they're getting a little more love than maybe the rest of the series, which is fine. I understand it. I mean, it's...
Well, that, Jason Goes to Hell is getting an uncut version as well, right?
Yes, which I believe is available on DVD already. I believe so. But it has never been available on Blu-ray is the thing.
Right.
So that's a big deal.
So no, I should admit, I have, I guess, triple dipped now. So I bought from Crystal Lake to Manhattan that first DVD set. And I remember, I think I went there the night it was released. Because do you remember trying to get these movies on DVD before? You could only get the Paramount movies on DVD.
It was a nightmare.
Bare bones.
Yep.
And it had the trailer on there. And I don't even remember if the box set had too much. It had commentaries.
There were some commentaries, yes. And there were maybe some press material stuff, but that was about it. On the From Crystal Lake to Manhattan one, that's about it. And that was fine for me.
I just wanted them on DVD.
Well, because they cleaned them up, too. That should be mentioned. Because I remember the early DVD versions that you could get before that box set, from what I recall, were basically just VHS transfers. So, like, there wasn't much of a difference.
Right.
And maybe I'm misremembering this, but that's how I remember it. So.
Yeah, From Crystal Lake to Manhattan collected those first 8. So
yes.
I think they came out with another box set, though, that collected 9 and 10 as well, once the rights, I can't remember.
I think so. I'm sure they did. I had bought those separately, you know, after
Me
the
too.
Fact. So.
In fact, I think I had already had X at that point, but I think I bought Jason Goes to Hell separately, too. But then they came out with the Blu-ray box set. This is a few years ago now, because we're getting old.
It was a steel or a metal tin, right?
It was a metal tin. Yep. I got this for... I know we have a listener too, Dave Smith, who got this really cheap at a Best Buy, and I think I did too. Like, I think I found it pretty cheap.
You paid like $40 for it.
Yeah, I think I paid like $30 or $40 for it. So I'm just like, so when this opportunity came, and it's expensive, it's $160.
It's not cheap. No, yeah. It's
but
not cheap.
I went, you know what? I got it. I have to get this. Like, the Scream Factory does fantastic work, and Friday the 13th is franchise you and I both love.
I mean, it's my favorite. Certainly, it's my favorite horror franchise.
Right.
Honestly, it's probably my favorite franchise, to be honest with you, in movies. I'm not saying it's the best. I'm saying it's my favorite. And Scream Factory is, there's no doubt they're my favorite in terms of distributing, or, you know, not even distributing, in terms of just putting together these collector's editions. There's some other really cool companies too, but I think Scream Factory is like top tier to me.
Yeah, me too.
There
are some other good ones, but a lot of their focus
is on really kind of
like kind of obscure.
Yeah, and which is cool.
People need that.
I think Synapse Films is one.
One of them I'm blanking on, but Arrow does really
Arrow
good
does some cool stuff too. Yeah. So there's other great companies out there, but I think Scream Factory has kind of become the benchmark, right? They become
Scream Factory and Friday the 13th are a perfect match.
It's everything I ever wanted.
Right.
If they never make another Scream Factory release, we're good, I think.
You want me to go over what's new to this?
Yeah, give me some of the new stuff. Give me some of the stuff that gets you excited.
So I'm just going to get this out of like 4K scans of the original camera negative, I believe, of the first 4 films.
Which is excellent. So I'm nervous about 1 and 2, because I will say the uncut version of 1 on DVD... Even the Kevin Bacon death is very obvious that it's
right.
It's weird. It kind of took away from it a little bit, but I'm excited for this. I'm really excited for a new scan of 4 because I love 4.
Okay.
Yeah. And I think it's already a good looking movie. So, yeah.
We've got Vintage Fangoria magazine articles, which I think are on
all
of them.
Yep.
Yep. TV spots, radio spots, S radio spots, K radio spots. I'm not sure.
You're
what
a
that
sucker
means.
For this stuff.
No, radio spots are my favorite thing. I will go. I will go on YouTube sometimes when we do an older movie and just kind of listen to radio spots.
They're cool.
Them,
they're
if
fun.
I can find them. I love radio spots. I love lobby cards. I like old stuff. I like old stuff that does not exist anymore to advertise films.
Do you ever go on? Have you ever been on eBay to check out like old press kits and stuff like that?
Yes.
There's some cool stuff. I got one for Nikki for Christmas one year. That was like an original, I think Guys and Dolls was 1950, God, I can't remember. It's an old movie. I found an original press kit from the release, which is pretty cool.
I picked up a Conquest of the Planet of the Apes one at a
that's
con one
so
time. I picked
sweet.
Up a couple of cons, but that's my favorite one.
That's so sweet.
Yeah, so we've got Fangoria, Radio Spots, TV Spots. for that. Now, Friday the 13th is the exciting one because it's got the 4K scan of the original film elements, and then it also has a new 3D version of Part 3.
So what that means is, and they've explained it further, right? Previous sets have had a 3D version, but it's been the old school style of 3D where you do have to put on the glasses, which your mileage may vary.
Right.
This is a legitimate 3D Blu-ray. So to play this copy of the movie, you need a 3D Blu-ray player, and you need a 3D TV and all that jazz. We do know somebody who has all that stuff.
Yes, we do.
So we'll be okay.
Yeah.
I don't have any of that stuff.
Maybe we think about doing a commentary.
That would be a ton of fun. I've never seen it in 3D. I'm going to say that right now.
I've watched it in 3D, but it's been like living. Do you remember the Crystal Lake to Manhattan glasses?
Oh, wait. Did that have glasses?
Yeah. Yeah, it had cardboard glasses.
Oh, man. I don't think mine had glasses. No, maybe it did.
I don't know. Maybe I'm getting that one, the Blu-ray set, mixed up.
The Blu-ray set had glasses.
Yep. Anyway, I was downstairs one night, and I was watching it at my parents' house, and they laughed at me. No, you know what? So anyway,
I'm looking forward to that.
Yes. Yeah. So that's the big thing for Part 3. Part 4 is a lot of the same stuff. Part 5 actually got some new stuff that's exciting. So it's got a new audio commentary with Melanie Kinneman, Deborah Voorhees, and Tiffany Helm. It's also got a new audio commentary with Adam Green and Joe Lynch.
I'm really excited for this. Me too. Yeah. I like those guys.
Yes.
So.
And they will do fun stuff with that. Part 6 got a new commentary. Tom Matthews, Vinny Gustafero, Carrie Noonien, Cynthia Kania, and then CJ Graham, who played Jason.
Yeah, and I believe this is where our first little clue that there was a new set coming came from. I think somebody mentioned recording a commentary for Part 6 in the press, and everybody was like, why would they be recording a commentary? So that's where the rumor started, you know? There was no Scream Factory rumor, but that's where the rumor started.
This has a Green and Lynch commentary as
which
well.
Which is, 5 and 6 are about as perfect as you can get for Green and Lynch. I wish 4 had one too, so they could round out the 3 movies, but I know they'd done commentaries for other ones during their Save the Yorkie stuff, so maybe that's where they got up to was 5.
Right.
I'm not sure.
7 and 8 are pretty much the same. They've got the Fangoria magazines. I will say this, though, for 7 and 8. If you have not, and I don't remember which one it was, which one they were on, I think the Rob Hedden commentary for 8 is old, but it's a pretty good commentary. And there are 2 Kane Hodder ones for Part 7, and Kane Hodder is an excellent listen. And he also has a commentary on Part 8 that's a lot of fun. So the commentaries for both of those are very good.
Yeah.
So if you have not heard those, definitely check those out.
That's worth it.
Final Friday, Jason Goes to Hell has got some new stuff, though. 2K scan of the original film, 2K scan of the original film with HD inserts, the unrated version, so theatrical and unrated. New interviews with Sean Cunningham, Noel Cunningham, Adam Marcus, the director, and Kane Hodder. And then a new audio commentary with Adam Marcus and author Peter Brackey.
Author of Crystal Lake Memories.
Thank you. Which I'm actually putting off reading until around this time.
That'll be a fun way for you to get it. Yeah, to get into it. It might be fun to watch the movie and then read the chapter, because the book is broken down by movie.
Oh, cool. Yeah,
it'd be a cool way to do
yeah,
that.
And then watch the show. Additional TV footage with new optional commentary with Adam Marcus and author Peter Brackey. So that is additional TV footage. So is that like... Oh, I was not aware that there was additional TV footage for Jason Goes to Hell.
Yeah, so they had to... A lot of those movies around that era, they had to actually shoot additional stuff to make time for TV because they had to cut so much of it. Right. And if you look at Jason Goes to Hell, they had to cut a lot. It is a gory, nasty movie. So, there's a lot of dialogue stuff, I think, that they added in. Similar to the original Halloween, actually.
So that'll be cool. I don't think I've ever seen that stuff.
I have never seen the additional stuff for Jason Goes to Hell.
Yeah.
Yeah. I've seen the unrated version because that's the one that has the softcore porn scene that ends with the woman being like...
Yeah. It gets racy.
It's pretty steamy. Yeah.
An electronic press kit as well. So then new interviews. Jason X has new interviews with Sean Cunningham, Noel Cunningham, Kane Hodder, Christy Angus, and Todd Farmer. It's got an audio commentary, which I recall being pretty good. It's got electronic press kit. It's got a couple of... Freddy vs. Jason is just, it seems like, just the same thing that they came out with. But that DVD is pretty good.
Yeah, honestly, once you get to this point, The DVDs were pretty loaded with special features to begin with, so really what more do you need, right?
The only thing you need on this, actually, is the music video from El Nino,
yeah.
How Can I Live? So the rest
right.
of it is
That's
just
it.
Cherry on top. Yep. Then Friday the 13th remake, that one is kind of...
That DVD was always kind of lame.
Yeah, it is kind of lame.
Oh, well.
is it going to be the killer cut?
Yeah.
Okay.
I think both are going to be on it. The theatrical,
okay,
I like the
theatrical better. The killer cut has like a couple scenes. There's like one scene where I'm just like, this is dumb and wasting time. It's where she's like running around.
I don't even remember it because that's the only thing that's available is the killer cut. The theatrical like hasn't been available since it was in the theater.
Yeah.
Which is bizarre. Yeah. So.
So then we've got a bonus disc one. New interview with the composer, Harry Manfredini. New location featurettes on part one and part two. So I think these are...
I'm assuming Sean Clark's doing these.
Thank you.
Usually he's doing the Horrors Hallowed Grounds, and they put those on these discs. I'm not saying that that's who it is, but my guess is it's probably him. Yeah.
So then there's an 8-part featurette, 3-part featurette. There's all sorts of stuff, and then more to be announced. Disc two is the same thing. It's some of their Scream Queens, which is interviews with a lot of with the women from the Friday the 13th franchise. There's one with a slasher film Forever, Slice and Dice, that has Corey Feldman and John Carl Buechler interviewed. There's all sorts of stuff and more to be announced. And they did, I think it was Friday the 13th franchise.com, who does a fantastic job of covering a franchise that does not have a ton of news. But they basically got an inside scoop from what I could tell that said, like, there's more to come. Like, we know that they're working on some stuff, and it's going to be really cool. So
I'm excited, man. I honestly, how could I not be? You know, it's like I said, it's I think it's both one of our favorite franchises, both for both of us, and it's coming from a company that we know is going to do a good job. So I'm excited. It's going to be so sweet to have this and Crystal Lake Memories, the book / the documentary. Like, after that, what more do you need?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, I think we're set. Like,
I'm so excited to put this next to my Halloween box set for some reason.
Yeah. Good.
Well, I have all those box sets.
Well, I'd imagine Nightmare probably couldn't be too far off, right?
I've got that. The Nightmare one I've got is that Blu-ray set that they came out with a while back. But
and I don't have any. I don't think I own any of the Nightmare movies, weirdly enough, which is...
The bummer about Nightmare is Wes.
Yeah.
Not being around. Yeah. So that would... Yeah. That's the
tough.
Bummer. Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway. Well, awesome. That was a fun little bonus episode. Thanks for joining us for that, guys.
We covered some feedback. Once again, where can the people...
Yeah, facebook.com/horrormovieyearbook. We're on Twitter at @HMYearbook. Or you can email us horrormovieyearbook@gmail.com. And please do.